We continue our learning the Nishmas Davi B'Menachem B'Shem Chaim Yaakov B'Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Kelim Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah Aleph. We've concluded our discussion of the laws of Klei Cheres, of earthenware vessels. And now we move on. Klei Matzchos, metal Kelim, the Mishnah says. Pshutehen U'mekablehen Temehen. Not only if they're mekabel something, and not only if they have a receptacle are they susceptible to tumah, but even pshutein, even if they are flat. We learned in the second perek, the Mishnah said, clay eight, clay ore, kelim made out of wood or out of leather, clay etzem out of bones, clay zechuch is glass. There we said, pshutehem tahorin u'mekablehem tamehem. Then we said, if they're flat, they're not mekabel tumah, they're tahor, but if they do have a receptacle, they are a kli kibul, they are mekabel tumah. The Mishnah's here is teaching us that clay matchos, metal kelim, are different from all those others, and the fact that even if they're pshutim, even if they are flat, they are mekabel tumah. That's why using metal spitz as schach is problematic, because they are mekabel tumah. You're not allowed to use something that's mekabel tumah for schach, even though they are flat. Why is this true? Why should they be different than the other kelim? So we learned also in the second parak, we quoted the pasuk from Yikra Yud Aleph. The pasuk says, Mikol kli eitz, obeged or osak. So there we said that all of the kelim, when we speak about susceptibility to tumah, we compare all kelim to a sack, to a sackcloth. Sackcloth made out of goat's hair. One of the things we learned from there was a kli has to be metaltel malevi rekan. Has to be a kli that you're able to move even when it's full. And a kli, let's say, that holds 40 sa'ah, it's not capable of being carried when it's full, when you put something in. It's just too big, too heavy. And therefore, that would not be mekabel tumah. What else do we learn from that pasuk? You have to be like a sack. A sack, a sackcloth, has a base kibble, has a receptacle. So all of those listed there, clay eitz, clay ore, have to be beged. In order for them to be mekabel tumah, they have to have a receptacle. They have to be like a sack in that respect. So what's not on that list in the Chumash? You don't have anything about clay matchos. Metal kelim discussed in other places. So therefore, since they're not compared to a sack, they're not in that pasuk, and there's no hekesh. Therefore, there's no halacha that they need to have a base kibul. They can be mekabel tumah even without a receptacle. The Rambam gives another reason. He says when it comes to clay matchos, metal kelim, which are discussed in Bamidbar Yod Lamed Aleph, the pasuk says in Parshas Matos, Kol davar asher yavova esh tavir barish. That's in the context of kashering kelim from the kelim that we got from Midyan, so we had to kasher them in order to use them from Tarfus. So there it says anything that's placed in the fire, you have to, how do you kasher it? Kibolo kapoto. You kasher something the way it normally would absorb any taste into the walls of the kli, that's how you kasher it. So if it's normally used on the fire, you have to kasher with fire. You're normally used with boiling water, you kasher with boiling water, with hagala. So there the pasuk says, Kol davar asher yavo ba'esh, tavir ba'esh. The laws of kasher in kelim mention no difference between, and these are speaking about all kelim and clay matchos. They're speaking about a clay matchos in specific. And there it doesn't say a difference between whether it's pashut, it's flat, or it's or it has a receptacle. Therefore, we put all clay matchos in the same category. But then the Mishnah says, Nishbaru, let's say these clay matchos have broken. So now, taharu, they have... they're now no longer mekabel tumah. Any tumah that they had has been removed. We're going to learn in Prakim Yud Gimel to Yud Dalid what the shiur shvira, how broken they have to be in order to become tohor. When it comes to kelim that have a receptacle, that's easy. We spoke about that. How liquids, kones mashke, solids, an olive can fall through, but in metal kelim don't need to have a receptacle at all. So it doesn't matter if anything falls through, it could be flat. So how we'll have to discuss what's considered broken. But now the Mishnah says, what about chazar v'asa mehen kelim? Let's say from those broken clay matchos, you made new kelim from those broken pieces, put them back together again. Chazru l'tumasan hayishana. They now return to their original tumah. Now, why should that be? After all, once a kli is broken, certainly even kli cheres is that way. Once a kli is broken, it should lose its status of tumah. So this is a gzera midrabanan. Why do they have to make a gzera that if the kelim are broken and now you put them back together, they return to their original status of tumah that they had when they were whole? So the answer is because we don't want people to make the following mistake. People may think, Oh, broken Kalim. If you break Kalim, it's metaher them. And we know immersing Kalim in a mikvah is metaher them. Tefillah is metaher them. Oh, okay. No, I noticed. And when it came to the kli that was tameh, let's say in the metal kli, and I broke it. Now I put it back together again the same day, and all of a sudden, you know, an hour later, it loses its status of tumah. If we didn't have this gezeira, what would happen? We would say, okay, the kli was tameh. Now I broke it. Now I put it back together again. An hour later, and now I have a tahor kli. So we'd say, look, breaking kalim is matayre kalim, and I know when it comes to mikvah, that's also matayre kalim. So what's a person going to think? A person's going to think the same way when it came to breaking the kli. I was able to use it an hour later, and have to wait at all. I have to wait till the sunset. So the same thing when it comes to being metaher kalim, not by breaking them, but by putting them in the mikvah. A person may think that, oh, I can. It's as long as it goes to the mikvah, when it comes out, it's going to be tor. And we know that when it comes to tuma, we have to when it comes to mikvah. So we have to wait until harev shemesh for many tumos, and we have to wait till the sunset. So in order not to make that mistake, where people may think that the same way when I break a kli and put it back together, the tara, it's tahor, and then I can use it once again. When I put it in the mikvah, now I can use it once again and not have to wait till harev shemesh. And that's why there's a gzeiras chachamim, that if you put a kli that was tameh and you broke it and you put it back together, the tumah status will remain. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, not in all cases do we say such a halacha, lo l'chol tumah, Elo l'tumas hanefesh. This was not true when it came to all types of tumah, but only regarding tumas nefesh. What does that mean? It means tumas meis. So apparently Rav Shimon Gamliel is not concerned with mixing up breaking kalim in a mikvah, and that if you put kalim in a mikvah, we may be afraid that you're not going to wait till harev shemesh. He had a different reason, and this is why it only applies to tumas nefesh, tumas meis, and that is, If we allow these kalim that after you break them, from what type of tumah that they had tumas mace, these metal kalim were tameh mace, and now you broke them, so and now you put them back together. We're afraid that if we don't give it the status of tumah that it had, so then people are no longer going to use the Efer Paraduma, Mechatas, the Me Efer Paraduma. They're not going to be using at all to be Matara things. And that's a big process. That's sprinkling on the third day and the seventh day. You have to wait a whole week. It's a whole process that we have. If people are going to have Kalim and say, you know, this is so easy, all I have to do is break it. And then it's tor. So I'm not. And what happened if I don't break it? So how do I remove the tumah? Oh, it takes a whole week. You have to sprinkle all the ashes of paraduma. I'm not going to do that. So it may fall into disuse. We'll forget completely. Shema tishtakach toras mechatos min hakelim. So therefore. They made a gzeira that the tumah will return after you break them. Who made this takana? This takana, the gzeira d'rabbanan, that if kalim are broken, and then you put them back together, they return to their status of tumah. So the Gemara says in Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that this was a takana of Shimon ben Shatach. And in fact, the story whereby it seems that he made this takana really had to do with Tumas Meis more than it had to do with other types of tumah. The story goes that Shimon ben Shatach's sister, Shlom Tzion Hamalka, made a wedding for her son. And during that time, the kalim actually became tameh mace. So she didn't, what is she going to do now? She can't wait a week for tara now. So she said, okay, let's have all the kalim broken and that way and put them back together. And then and after they're repaired, they will once again be tahor. It was that story that motivated Shimon ben Shatach to make this gezeira. No, we don't want people to either. Based on Shimon Gamliel's halacha, which was maybe it was a tumas hanefesh, in order not to forget the laws of the 7 days of toras mechatas, of sprinkling the ashes of paraduma upon Kalinton and Mattai then, or maybe, you know, not to mix it up with the mikvah. It seems that this story was the motivation. In fact, that the third possibility the Gemara has, that there's another reason why we should not allow breaking of Kalim to serve as a Tahara process, and therefore Gzeira Darabon on that, the Tumah that it had will return if they are repaired, and that is maybe people will not break them properly. Not knowing the halachos, is the hole big enough? Is the Al's going to fall through? They may break it very in a way that actually is not Mattire at all. And therefore, since it's not considered broken, they'll put it back together, repair it. Think now it's Tahor. Meanwhile, it's still Tummy because you never really broke it properly. Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Beis. After we learned in the previous Mishnah that clay matros and makabel tumah, whether they're flat or have a clay base kibble, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha here is that clay, that pshute clay matros, that flat metal kalim, are not makabel tumah unless they have a specific name, what we call a shem levi, an accompanying name, and not when they are called by another clay. Meaning that they have their own. A shem levi means they have a accompanying name, means they're actually considered part of another kli. That's what we'll describe. I have a name, a certain, let's say you speak about a spoon. So if I say it's the measuring spoon, and let's say it's attached to a special bowl or something, and it's always used with that, and therefore it's really part, it's an accessory to the bowl. So therefore that's an accompanying, that's a shem levi. If that were metal, we say that would not be that spoon actually has a clay kibble. But the point is, if it was something flat, it would not be makabel tumah because it has a shem levi, it's an accompanying name, it's part of something else. When do we say pshute clay matros, flat clay matros are considered their own kalim? So that's when they are, they have their own name by themselves and not part of something else. Let's say a spit. This is the spit of the barbecue. So that, okay, that may not be its own kli. It's part of an accessory to the barbecue. So maybe that's part of another kli. Maybe that wouldn't be makabel tumah. That's what the Mishnah is here to teach us. Kol clay matros sheyesh lo shem bifnei atzmo tamei. All clay matros that have its own name, its own independent name, Hashem Yuchad, so then that will be Mekabel Tumah, even though it's going to be flat. But if it has a name that in order to identify it, you have to give it some description, this is considered let's say the spit of the barbecue, so maybe that would be considered, or let's say something that's attached, this is the branch of this candelabra, so that's not its, although it has its own kibble even, that's not, although that's that part of it is flat, part of it is a clay kibble, but that's part of a whole, so then it's not going to be its own kli, and therefore it's not going to be makabel tumah on its own. If it's attached to the kli, so then of course it'll be makabel tumah, like the rest of the kli is makabel. So that's what the Mishnah means. Kol kli matros sheyesh lo shem bifnei atzmo tamei. If it has its own specific name, Bar Tanura says, shehu yadua v'nikar mu'ichad b'shmo. It's known, recognizable, and designated. So then it's tamei. And then he writes, says the Bar Tanura, bein yesh lo beis kibul, bein ein lo beis kibul. So it'll be tamei even if it doesn't have a beis kibul, because it has a special name. But now we have an exception to this rule. These are not subject to tumah, even though they have their own independent names. Chutz min adelus. So a door has its own name. It's not part of something. It's obviously part of the house, but it has its own name. It's not described by the delus of something. Umina haneger. That's the door stopper. That's a metal peg that's put into a hole in the floor. So, and we'll talk about this in greater detail. How exactly what the doors look like in those days. This, at least according to one explanation, is put in a hole in the threshold. It's behind the door, so the door can't be completely opened. So that's that also. It's called the neger by itself. It's independent. And nonetheless, it's not makabel tumah. Remember, kalim doesn't need to have a base kibble normally when it comes to metal, kalim to makabel tumah. This is not makabel tumah, even though it has its own name and doesn't need a shem levi and accompanying him to describe it. Umin haman ul. What else is not mekabel tumah, which is part of this door? This is a lock. Anything that's used to lock or to close a door, also made out of metal, that is, and that also is not mekabel tumah. V'haposa shetachas hatzir. The socket that's under the pivot of the door. So this is, we need to understand that normally we have hinges in the middle of the door. In the days of the Mishnah, so they normally, that's not where the hinges are. There was actually a pivot above, which went into the top of the Moskov, into the lintel, and then one on the bottom, a pivot on the bottom that went into a socket on the floor, and the door was able to swing on with these two pieces of metal. So the posa is tachas atzir. That's the socket that's under the pivot of the door. That's where the lower peg goes into the hatzir, and that's the pivot itself. So that's also something that's metal, and it's not mekabel tumah, even though it has its own name. V'hakoro, which is a beam in the ceiling of a house. V'hatzinor, which is a drain pipe. So all these are metal kalim, have their own name, and not mekabel tumah. Why is that so? Why are all these, if they have their own name, so they're not described by something else, so why that in mekabel tumah? So the Mishnah says, shenasu lakarka, because they're made for the ground. And the rule is, says the Baraturah, v'chol ha-mechubar lakarka, hariu kakarka. Anything that's attached to the ground is like the ground, and the ground's not mekabel tumah, the ain't mekabel tumah. So Machlokes Rishonim, how according to the Rambam, so he understands that once you make a kli for this purpose, to be attached to the ground directly, indirectly, so like the cases in the Mishnah, it's not mekabel tumah, even though it wasn't attached to the ground just yet, or it wasn't attached to the door just yet. But the Rashba and the Rush say it's not true. These are mekabel tumah at that stage. When do we say they're not mekabel tumah? When you actually attach them to the ground. Or an arm mishnah attached to the door. So according to these you showed him, once they're attached to the door, then I'm a kabel tumah because they're a mechubar lakarka, so to speak. But before that, just making these kalim, even though you plan on using them for a door or to be attached to the ground, doesn't matter. Why do we mention these specifically? Any kli that's attached to the used part of a house, attached to the ground, it sounds like that's metal. It's not going to be a kabel tumah. Tiferes Yisrael explains that the reason why the mishnah mentions these is because there's a novelty, there's a chiddush, and that is that in the cases of the examples of this Mishnah, one would have thought maybe because they move around a lot, and even when they are attached to the ground, they pivot, they move, they slide, they're not in place, so maybe, and they can get detached because a lot of movement of the door can detach them. Nonetheless, they consider mechubal karka. So that's the chiddush of these, that maybe I would have thought they're not mechubal karka because they move so much, even when they are attached to the ground and they're in their use. Nonetheless, they're not mekabel tumah, they're considered mechubal karka.